afternoon. Yeah, talk over. My name is Andre Louis. I'm a musician from central London. And what you're seeing in front of me, if you can and have sight, is Native Instruments Complete Control. The music you're hearing in the background is something that I made earlier. And I made it all in Logic Pro X with Complete Control. As little as 5 years ago, I probably couldn't have done this. Not this well, anyway. It's always been my ambition to be able to make music for TV, radio, film, and so on. And with Complete Control, I can do that. Better than ever. Some of the sounds are what the mainstream uses, and it's a real pleasure and treasure that I can do what I'm doing now. So, in front of me, for example, you're not going to be able to see the laptop screen, and I suppose I have to turn it. There's no hookup, so just pretend you can. Is the Logic main window. Now, Logic, for those who don't know, is an audio and MIDI sequencer of some renown, and I'm running this all on a MacBook Air 2015. The machine itself isn't special, but what the machine allows me to do is very much special. So, well, Complete Control, what is it essentially? It allows me to use sounds that I couldn't use before because I use this keyboard, which is not made for visually impaired people, it just happens to work as such. And it allows me to get access to both first party and third party libraries from Native Instruments and other people. This piece that you heard was all made with products from Native Instruments only, and it's 9 tracks. And I wanted to make something kind of big, epic, and orchestral sounding. I used to be a hardware guy. The trouble with hardware, if you have never had the occasion to use it, and don't worry about it if you haven't, is that every bit of hardware is different. Every bit of hardware from the same manufacturer is also different. So on one bit of gear, you might go menu, down, 2 times, enter, left, once, to do one thing. And that same thing, which you memorized on one bit of kit, you get another piece of kit from the same manufacturer. It's going to do something completely different. That's a problem. What Complete Control aims to do, and does it quite well, is to standardize a lot of the issues that we face as blind musicians in the field. And it does this by making the knobs on this keyboard talk to the products behind them. So I can use a piano from Native Instruments or a piano from Spectrasonics, who are 2 different companies with 2 very different paradigms of what they do. But I can use that without any problem whatsoever, because Complete Control does all the hard bits for me. I've had times in life, for example, where you load up one instrument and you learn to use that instrument, and I mean software here, and you go to another instrument by the same people, coded probably by a different team, and you've got to start from ground zero again, learning exactly what's what. This can be time consuming, it can be very difficult to deal with, and it can be frustrating because you can't compose or be inspired or do what you need to do. And there's nothing worse than that. So with me, I have Tim Adney here from Native Instruments today, head of the Complete Control project. And I met him a year ago and 2 days ago, as it were, at their London head office. And I walked into the room not knowing what to expect. He sat me down at a keyboard and he said, touch any one of these controls up top.
Tone, color, anatomy, dynamic, reservoir.
And I'd never seen anything like it. I touch a knob and it talks. Now, what that does allow me to do is to control the software like my sighted counterparts, off-the-shelf components that I've never been able to use before. It's incredible. So Tim, if you don't mind, give us a sort of an overview of how you came about doing this and why did you pick visually impaired people sort of as a way to start this?
So thanks, Andre. So my name is Tim Adney. I'm product owner at Native Instruments, working on Complete Control software, which is what powers all of the hardware. And really, the idea behind this, I mean, I've been using Logic for many years. There's also Pro Tools out there, both of which do a really good job of being accessible to people with visual impairments, blind people such as Andre, who here is using Logic Pro 10, but there are a few others out there. But that's not the whole story. So those software platforms ship with instruments, but there's a lot of other instruments out there. And that's where things start to break down. So they're plugins, you plug them into the sequencer, and you can make sound with them, but they are all from different people, as Andre said, and they all work in completely different ways. And what we wanted to do in general, actually, with Complete Control, was try to encapsulate that a little bit more. So there was like a common way in for everybody. They can load up Complete Control plugin, use Complete Control, browse for their sounds, adjust their sounds, all these things that Andre, I'm sure, is going to show you in just a moment. And that was kind of an opportunity to make these things accessible and work in one way. In addition to this, we have something we call Native Control Standard, which is a standard that we released just over a year ago, actually. And that allows any instrument manufacturer, so Native Instruments, as Native Instruments, we have a big library, but any instrument manufacturer to use exactly the same technology. It's something that we don't charge for, it's completely free for them to use. And that's been really widely adopted. So we now have hundreds of instruments that are all going through and are encapsulated by Complete Control software. And what that means is that what we could do was myself and a colleague of mine, Carl Bussey, who's a developer in Berlin, where we have most of our development teams, we essentially decided that, hey, if we make this one thing accessible, it's encapsulating everything, then we open up all of these instruments. So it was something that the two of us worked on over a period of time. I think it took a few months in the end to get the first version and then iterated. And Andre was actually one of the people, as he's just described, who first came in to just try it out. With lots of people, at that point we'd made lots of stupid mistakes, we'd done things that weren't quite right, but it was a really great help because, of course, that allowed us to just iterate upon it and improve it a little bit. And by adding accessibility to this one layer, as I say, it just made all instruments work in a coherent way because there are guidelines for the manufacturers as how they should integrate. So really the overarching idea was just to have this one system that, you know, someone like Andre and plenty of other people who've been working with could use. And it was kind of an experiment in a way. It's really the first time we've ever done this. But thankfully it's really working out well. And Andre has actually given us this ongoing support, as have several other people. Which we're really feeding back into the development process just to make sure that we can open up more and more. So it's not yet 100% accessible, of course we want to get there, but it's really this kind of first step and is now just a gradual process that's just being tied into our general development approaches. So that's really the story of how it came to be. So I'll pass back to you, Andre, and you can show us a little bit more.
I will do that. One of the first things I do when I get something new is to look at the manual. I know a lot of people don't, and it's nice to not have to if it's intuitive, but with software being as vast and strange as it is, chances are, especially in the music world, that you would have to know what controls to use, what they call MIDI CC values, control values. And if you don't know what a certain thing does, you won't be able to use it. And everything, as I say before, was different. Now with Complete Control, I can load that into Complete Control, assuming that the manufacturer supports the standard, the YNKS standard, and I don't have to care. And it's been a real eye-opener, if you'll pardon the pun, or game-changer. So, in front of me, for example, here is a piano. Now, I can change the characteristics of that piano without having to know what is actually on screen, and I never have to worry about that. And I can do all of that hands-on from the keyboard in front of me. The keyboard in front of me has 8 knobs, and they do different functions, and every instrument will probably announce different functions as we go over it, so I'll show you a few things.
Tone,
the color, and that changes. That's changing the brightness of the sound that I have. So if I wanted like a kind of rocky sound, you know, you'd use it brightener. But if I want to do something dark and meaningful, I'll turn the color down. Things like that are amazing for me, so I don't have to hunt through sliders and faders and this and that and the other. And a lot of the time, actually, with instruments, you cannot, they're not actually visible to screen readers at all. A lot of these instruments really are not. So you have, when instruments are supporting this NKS standard, it makes a huge difference, not just a minor difference.
Speed amount on off.
There's the reverb control, for example, which is an on-off control. So if I turn it on,
amount.
It's kind of scary and huge. Turn it down,
amount. Size.
And the size. Now, if amount. I was going to do some sort of Brian Eno ambient thing, we'd turn the size and the amount all the way up. I can go. And that's a completely different sound from when we started. Absolutely crazy. And that's one piano in amongst 18,000 different sounds that I have access to. And that's only the factory content. I have more libraries than my wife has shoes, by her say-so, by the way. And she told me this one day in a fit of pique. And I constantly buy more libraries because I go, ooh, does it work with NKS? And if not, maybe there's some third-party party that did this. And for example, I have some plugins called Korg Legacy. And they, by default, don't allow me to see any of the parameters or expose any of the patches to Logic or to my keyboard that I'm using. But through the diligent work of some of the users on the NI forums, who I cannot thank enough, and they've made these packs, some of them free, for some of the products, I have access to things that I would never have even bothered to look at before. So now, maybe unfortunately, according to the wife, I buy more and spend more than I'll ever use in my lifetime, but I just can't help myself in a way because there's just so much choice.
EQ, depth and trans.
So
keys, overtone, CMP, tape and stereo.
There's something I want to find.
Keys, overtone, on off. Keys, silent.
Silent.
Low.
If I can't find it here, I'll show you another piano where I can. In fact, I'll show you the preset browser. The preset browser is one of the greatest parts of Complete Control. So if I hit the preset browse key now.
Preset browse.
Now, I loaded this project not knowing what the piano was because I've forgotten I made this a few months ago. So if I want to know what it is, if I touch the last knob in this list.
Preset Deep Grandeur.
It tells me the piano is Deep Grandeur. So I know it's from a piano called The Grandeur. Now, if you used hardware sequence-based sequencing and you'd have no computer access, you might be wanting to tell someone, oh, this is a great sound, and they ask you what it's called, and you sort of look at them blankly for a while because you can't remember. With this, I don't have to know. I can just have it tell me. And that is a really great thing. I'm going to switch pianos now to something called Alicia's Keys. So I'm going to take knob number 2 and I'm going to turn it all the way back.
Scarby J.
Down the list, and the list is rather extensive.
Action Star. Alicia's Keys.
Here's Alicia's Keys, and I will click this in.
Put it.
And here's another piano. The reason I want to show this is because
Key noise, head up.
I can turn up and down the sustain pedal of the piano with this with complete control. So now I've
head
turned
up.
It up, and you won't hear it.
Head down.
Turn up the ped down as well. And if I turn my sound card up and be very careful, if you hear that little thumping, that's me putting my foot down on the sustain pedal.
Up.
And
down.
Now you can hear it. So just by turning a couple of knobs on top of this keyboard, I can get into parameters that I might not have even known were built into the instrument previously without complete control to show me the way. And it allows users to customize in such huge ways. It's like making your own sound as such, building a sound from scratch. And
key noise, head up.
The key noise. When I turn the key noise down, you don't get the key release noise like you would from a real grand piano. Turn it up. You can hear that difference, can't we? So that's really cool. Lots of other sounds do all sorts of different things. There's drums, for example, and that's one of my pride and joys is drums. Tim will tell you I do like some drums. So what I'm actually going to do now is switch projects, which will take a little while, and talk at the same time. Can we do that? Yes, I believe we can.
Take it away, Logic.
Close.
Alert, look, don't save.
Button.
And don't save.
Logic Pro XBZ.
Now we wait.
What are you fiddling with down there?
Down here to my right is the Mac with all the sounds on it, and there's a hard drive connected to the Mac, which is a 1 terabyte portable drive.
Button.
And it contains all of my libraries and fun things on it. Without that drive, and I went to a rehearsal without it once, but don't tell anyone, it was horrible. I was stressed, I'd never met the people before, and I think I just sort of forgot it in the rush. And I was using built-in sounds without complete control. And that might seem like nothing, because I should have been used to it by now. But it was a real chore, and I didn't enjoy it. Thankfully, though, when I went next time, I took the drive, and it was all right. But that's not something you ever want to do, is forget your basically primary source of sound. Never do that again. Right, so now in front of me, I have this other piece that I wrote just for this morning, and it's only very short. Although, oh, now it works. Sorry about that. The piece I wrote this morning was to demonstrate. The trouble with levels, right, is when you don't have something in front of you, it's really hard to judge. So good. So this piece is short, and the idea behind this was to demonstrate the fact that I can basically remix on the fly the drum sounds. The drum sounds are horrible until I give them a tweak. So the piece essentially is very short and goes. there's the drums. It's like buried. Okay, those drums are just terrifyingly bad. So let's find them. And actually what I'm doing is using the complete control keyboard, which has transport controls on it. So that means I can not only change track, here's the bass. Underneath that is the drums. And they are sort of in what sounds like the boys' changing rooms at school. So we need to rectify that because that's just not acceptable. And I left it that way for the demonstration. Okay, so the first things first, I know that on page two are the controls that I want, but I'll take you through page one because it's very cool. On the first thing,
volume one,
these controls to the left of the keyboard take me to the different pages.
Volume two, pan one.
So we want volume one to start with, and this will allow me to turn volume up and down one. The kick volume. Bring it into the mix a bit. Snare drum next. Making up for the poor mixing. Hi-hat, tom one, two, and three. I'll leave those alone. The next page is where it all gets exciting.
Volume two.
Here's the next page. Now,
O Saint.
O Saint, by the way, because speech is trying to be clever, is actually overhead stereo, S-T, O-S-T. It's all the way down, but we need it up. I need to turn down the mono.
Room Saint.
The room stereo. Starting to actually hear something now.
Room mono.
And the room mono. Look, the drums have come out of the cave. And if I turn that back up, that's how they used to be. Horrible. Right, so you go away again. And if we play that part of this track again from the beginning, you'll hear actually the drums can actually sound useful. Crazy. So just by doing a couple of changes in very quick time, that is a really massive speed up to my workflow as a musician. And so with only 8 knobs, you think, well, how do you get all the parameters? But these page buttons make that a breeze. And I think, Tim, if I'm not mistaken, these lights tell what the drums would be, because there's something called a light guide, which, not being able to see, I don't make use of, but it doesn't mean it isn't useful. So how does Light Guide benefit people, Tim? Because even to this day, my kids just go, oh, Rainbow Daddy, you're playing drums, aren't you? I can see that. It's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the Light Guide, essentially, it's a way of communicating what some of the keys do. So again, like with the NKS SDK, we developed this language, or standard, if you like, for doing it. So for example, with drums, anything that's red is going to be a kick drum. Anything that's yellow is going to be a snare drum. Toms, I think, orange, and then hi-hats are blue, or other instruments. We have a lot of instruments that have these things called key switches. So for example, if you took a string patch, you might have a bowed sound and then a pizzicato sound, and you'd switch between them using a particular set of keys. So again, the same idea there, they would be red. So it tells you, these keys aren't gonna make a noise, they're gonna perform a function. Then the keyboard tells you what that is. So that part, obviously, you know, that's not something that Andre's going to make use of, but it's just another part of the standard as a whole. So just a way of kind of getting instruments that you can immediately find your way into. It's the same principle behind it, really.
That is great. Now, we've talked about first-party NKS support. Now, I'm going to mention a bit about third-party NKS support from the users and such. Here's a piano, another one. Yes, as a pianist, I sort of live with those. This is the Keyscape piano from Spectrasonics. Now, the product itself is very expensive, but what makes me annoyed about it is that they don't do NKS support natively. However, some very kind users have put together a pack that allows me to use all the patches and all the parameters of the patches, so I can modify this piano in the same way that I did first-party native instrument support, which is great. So we have mode and color shift and reverb. We've messed with reverb before, but I'll do it again with this one because they have a very different characteristic sound. That's very short.
Time.
It's growing. And with this, I could go down one octave and make a sort of ambient hello. And it turns into sort of ethereal pad. But if I do the same thing and turn the reverb all the way down and off, it will not sound the same. Because it doesn't have that kind of feel to it. And that's really important in music, that you actually achieve what you want to achieve. Until quite recently, the only way to do what I was doing was by using other plugins, and only if they worked. For example, you couldn't get at a lot of the presets on a lot of these instruments because they weren't accessible, or the UI wasn't nicely customized and that sort of thing. So it causes a lot of issues. Now, here's one of the cooler things I'm going to show you, because I like this, you'll like this.
All types, all products.
I need to
plugin edit.
I'm going to load up the Fender Rhodes, and the Fender Rhodes is very cool because you can actually hear the mechanical noise.
Electric pianos.
I should talk about this actually as well, Tim. The preset browser, all these knobs, they perform different functions.
Category, all categories.
So for example, the category knob, which you can change between things like drums and percussion, synth. Or synth.
Drums and percussion.
Or all categories.
All category. Product, all products.
And when you do that, all the other knobs will perform different functions again. The second knob is the product in question, Keyscape. Which is in this case Keyscape, but I've got other things in here.
Hybrid X64.
Hybrid.
FM8. 88264. DB33.
All these other products that I will get to in time.
Hybrid X6. Contact. Keyscape.
But we want Keyscape.
Banks. All banks.
The banks in this case don't really matter too much, although it does do things like
Chimitron.
Clavichord.
Dulcetone. Electric harpsichord.
And all these things are sounds within the product, so it helps to organize by category. And for example, I use complete control on stage, on tour. I'm going on tour later this year with a band that I'm working with all over the country. And if they, at the last minute, want me to change the sound, I will at least know what product to begin looking for. The one time I took this to a rehearsal, they wanted a sound of a sitar. And if I was using hardware, I'd have to basically be playing and going through and, you know, playing on stage. And I don't like that. I don't want to be hitting keys and sort of being obnoxious going, nah, not that one. I'd rather be able to have it in headphones, because I wouldn't have this on coming through the PA. Of course, if I was on stage, I have the Mac coming through with headphones on my head, and I would be able to load up a sitar sound without even having to play the keyboard once. So as a blind musician, this is great. And that's what my sighted counterparts would do. So I got the sitar loaded and they were like, that was quick. You didn't used to be able to do that. I was like, no, because I used to use hardware. So this is a great game changer.
Thanks.
So anyway, Celeste. I want to show
types.
You
Beltone key. Beltone
this
keyboard.
Thing.
All banks. Mini pianos. Key bass.
Electric
piano.
Pianos. And I want the Rhodes.
Rhodes. Le Custom E. Rhodes Classic Mark I.
The Rhodes Classic Mark I. Quite a well-known sound for some.
Octave 0.
And this is quite dry. So that is the Rhodes. It's very well sampled, very well recorded. I used to own one of these until I sold it to fund a trip to Barbados. Not libraries, not libraries. And I missed it a lot, a huge amount. Now, as I said, this is dry. That is to say, there are not many effects on it, but there is a tremolo that's going side to side. You can hear it moving.
Tremolo or timpan.
So I'm going to just turn it off. Now it's gone. Great.
Performance and preamp.
Now, what I really want to show you, this is the greatest part of this whole
capital
thing.
T. Pedal noise.
Again, I can turn up the pedal noise of the unit. That's just over-exaggerated, but the fact that I have these controls at my fingertips is fantastic.
Velocense. Capital T.
And if I go back one,
mix, on off. Direct.
Here's the direct mix from the unit itself. This is the sound that you get out of the Rhodes amplifier. I've turned it down. The third knob,
mechanical.
In this case, says mechanical. Now, if anyone's ever played an electric guitar, you know that if you don't connect that guitar to a cab, you can just play the strings and it's sort of tinny and strange sounding. With a Rhodes, it's an electroacoustic instrument. You need to give it power of some sort. And if you don't, all you get is this sound. There are very few libraries that actually sample the room ambience of the instrument itself including the pedal noise, so I can play this and I can get a mix that I'm happy with,
direct,
combining the direct and the mechanical noise. So this is very exaggerated. Turn the
direct.
Mechanical noise, the direct up a bit and the mechanical noise down.
Mechanical.
Now, I've built something that feels and plays real. All through the power of Native Instruments Complete Control. And that, ladies and gentlemen, as they say,